What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast AT Cares program with my buddy Bubba Wilson. Bubba was one of the very first people to go through the AT Cares training program. It's a new initiative being started by the NATA. Bubba and I had quite a few conversations because of the situation that I dealt with here, where we had an athlete die just about 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago in 2 days, or 2 days past, whatever. And so the whole process of how does somebody who's in the situation of knowing the athlete, of performing care on an athlete, on a healthy individual that's a junior in high school, has played basketball for 5 years, plays on the weekends, and you're performing CPR on a kid that you've treated and dealt with. And that's what AT Cares is about, is athletic trainers taking care of athletic trainers. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/ATCares, and we're going to get an early look at what the program is and how Bubba's felt like it's gone so far in dealing with, he said earlier, what's the leading district in AT Cares. So we've had quite a few things going on here in the Texas area, and so we're just going to get his insight and then kind of a plug for the program for you to take it whenever you get a chance. And then also I'll share again why I'm taking that story. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/ATCares. Okay, Bubba, give us a brief overview, or doesn't have to be brief, just give us an overview of the program, the training, and we'll go from there.
So what AT Cares is peer-to-peer counseling. So it's athletic trainers counseling athletic trainers that have gone through some type of critical incident, okay? And it doesn't have to be a death. It could be you had an athlete die in a car wreck. You had a coach die at home from a heart attack. It could be an athlete death that you had to deal with, or a paralysis, or a loss of limb. But people don't understand how intimately we know these kids in a good way. We may have known this kid since they were a sixth grader, and they're a junior now that just had an incident. We see them every day, at least for an hour a day, 5 days a week. We're seeing these kids. You get to know them. And so this all started out of first responders, so police, fire, and EMS, and the things that these guys go through. And, you know, they always talk about gallows humor with cops. I get it. You know, I mean, the things they see on a daily basis, you got to get a little bit hardened to that. And so one of the ways to deal with that stress is humor. They're not being disrespectful. I don't know how we'd handle it if we had to do that every day. But this came out of that. It was unveiled at NATA in Baltimore last year in 2016. I was lucky enough to be the District 6 representative, which is Texas and Arkansas. So right now there are 10 districts in NATA. Several of the people on the committee have gone through the training, their instructors. And so the rest of us are right now currently going through the training. I did the individuals in crisis in January. I'll do first set of group in January next year, and then the summer of 18, I'll do the advanced group, and then from there I'm going to work towards becoming an instructor. So basically what would happen is, let's say if I would have been trained when your incident occurred, I knew you and Bill, so how I dealt with you was different because we're friends, but I did some of the same things that I just got trained on without realizing it. Okay, but I did it from a more personal level because I know you guys. But if something happened, I would reach out and say, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I'm with. Do you need any help? And if you said yes, like Bill said, come by and talk to me in the next couple of days. So I'm going to come by and make sure my job, my role is to make sure that the athletic trainer is taking care of themselves, that their basic needs are getting met first and foremost, and that they're not going to be a harm to somebody else or themselves. Okay. After that, then we're going to talk through the situation. And hopefully by being an athletic trainer myself and having dealt with catastrophic incidences myself, we can talk this through to where you can get on the road to recovery. But that's just really one part of it. Your districts need to have, or your employer needs to have, a crisis management plan, and they need to have employee assistance programs. They've got that at the hospital I work at. Hospitals deal with death every day, so they're prepped for that. School districts don't. They have a crisis plan for the students. They don't have a crisis plan for the employees. And we're working on that. That's not a quick moving thing, but we're working on that.
All right. So I know that you recently sent me an email about one of the schools that was dealing with something a couple weeks or a month ago, and they had a crisis mm-hmm. intervention plan in somewhere here in Texas. And you know, you sent me that, and I looked at it, and so there was different parts that we have to put together, and we're gonna begin to prepare to speak with the school board and or all the different levels. And so, talk a little bit more about what you would look for now in a crisis intervention plan.
Okay. So we have to have a concussion management plan, right, in Texas. Mm-hmm. We have to have a plan that says, okay, if an athlete is suspected of having a concussion, by law we have certain things we have to do, but what has our district decided our steps are going to be? And how are we going to, as safely as we can, return this player back from a mild traumatic brain injury? We have an emergency action plan, right? So we plan on the front end. If we need to activate EMS, what are we going to do? We don't have a back-end plan, and I've talked about this in different symposiums from time to time. And the back end of that is having a crisis management plan. So to not belabor the point so we can move forward, let's say a crisis happened, all right? And let's say you're the AD, and I'm the athletic trainer that dealt with the crisis. And let's say I did CPR on a kid, and they survived, all right? My question is this: how am I doing mentally? And if I had to do it again tomorrow, would I do it or would I freeze? And that's a big question to get answered, okay? And the hope is I would be okay to do it again, but how do we know that? So if it happened, here's how I envision it, and we've talked about this before. You would come to me as the AD and say, hey, Bubba, nice job. Everything worked as it was supposed to work. The outcome was good. How are you doing? Okay, and I'm going to say I'm fine, you know, blah, blah. But you should then say, okay, I need you to make sure that the AED that you used is secured. So-and-so, who's already been designated, and it should be in writing, is going to come pick up that AED from you. And there ought to be a chain of custody form that goes with it. So it leaves my possession and goes to your possession. So you're going to sign for it, whoever it is. Okay? They're going to download that data. They're either going to bring me a new AED or they're going to bring me that AED back very quickly with new pads and a new battery. All right? Need to say, I need you to, you and all parties involved with the care of that individual, to write up an accounting of the events to the best of your knowledge. You need to make sure you save that and send that to so-and-so, whoever's been designated. Again, that should be spelled out by X number of days after the event. All right. Then you're going to tell me we are going to have a debrief at some point with all parties involved in the care of this athlete. And the purpose of the debrief is to go over what went right, what went wrong. Now, let's say they died. We're not going to point fingers at each other and say, well, that went wrong. Well, may not have been anything we could control. You do everything right, but the end result is not what we want. But you want to go over and say, you know what? There was road construction. We can't control that. We can control if we had keys to every gate. We can't control if every gate was able to be opened. We can't control that the EMS went to the wrong entrance, but we can control where we fan out students, athletes, and coaches to make sure that EMS ambulance gets to the right entrance. Or if they go to the wrong entrance, that we point them in the right direction. So we go over all those things in that debrief, okay? Maybe we come back later and have a second as if we tabled anything or new information comes to light. All right, so new information could be cause of death. That's a public record, so over time you can get that. And then I think the most controversial aspect of this, and I am all for this, is I think you should tell me, because it should be set up, hey, you need to go get your first visit minimum of counseling done with the psychologist, okay? Am I fit to go back to duty? That's what do they do with an officer-involved shooting? They put them on desk duty. They get a mental evaluation. Can they pull that gun again if they have to? Can I depress that button for that AED or put my hands on their chest and begin compressions if I had to again? And if I'm not ready mentally to do it, that's a problem. So that's how I look at that from a crisis management standpoint. We ought to have something in place that says, if you had to do it again tomorrow, could you do it? All right. I know somebody that had to do it once and then 2 weeks later had to do it again.
Right.
And, you know, that was... You know, I talked to him multiple times for two different events before I ever went through any of the training and realized I was using some of the skill sets without knowing it. Now, did it help that he was my friend? Of course. You know, because again, how you talk to someone that you're comfortable and familiar with is different than how I'm going to talk to the person in Dallas, Texas that I don't know, that I make this, you know, cold call in essence that they just had something catastrophic happen. So.
All right, so you just talked about the after-action plan, and again, like I said, we kind of came up with something, you and I, but
right.
Is that included in the training? Do they in the AT Cares program, do they have a paperwork or a template or like a resource section of the website saying, hey, here's the stuff that we recommend, just fill it in with your details?
Right now, no. We are very much in our infancy as a committee. Things have moved way quicker than I thought they would go and way slower at times than I thought they would go. But it all makes sense when you look back at it. So I didn't think I was going to get my first level of training this fast, okay? But there's a need for it, so that's fine. But we're also right now having to get our policies and procedures looked at and tweaked and then approved by legal, so then the board of the NATA can approve them before we can implement them. So that takes a while. So there's a lot of layers involved in all this. Over time, do I think maybe we have something like that or some guidelines or some tips? Sure. Because we're going to have a website, a webpage within the NATA that's going to talk about a lot of this. It's going to have the committee. It's going to have a way for you to contact someone if there's been a crisis or if you've had a crisis and want some help to reach out to somebody. All that's going to be built into that.
All right. So you just mentioned a time where, you know, Cody...
Right.
He had an athlete where UCPR saved his life. 2 weeks later, UCPR
lost a life.
Life-saving skills, and the athlete ended up not surviving.
Right.
And so here you are before the AT Cares program doing, you know, having a conversation with him. How would that have changed? Obviously, it's hard to just look back and say that, but how would that have changed your conversations, your interactions, if you had been through the program first?
Probably, again... a lot, but not a lot at the same time, if that makes sense, because I know him. So I might be a little more direct in some of the things I ask. My job in this role is not to point fingers. I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback. I wasn't there. Again, my job is to make sure he's mentally going to be okay and that we're going to work through it. But really allowing him to vent, you know, to just throw it out there. Tell me what happened. Tell me, you know, what pisses you off about this whole deal, besides the death, obviously. You know, what problems did you have? Let him talk about it, and then, you know, we're going to work through some things. I think probably knowing now, I'd ask a few different questions. It helped. There's no doubt it helped. They found out fairly quickly after what the cause of death was. Nothing they could have done would have made a difference, much like you guys. Nothing was going to change, okay? And so, you know, just like we had an incident at the Ironman a couple weeks ago, the system worked fine. We had lifeguards there. We had EMS there. By the time they got him out of the water, EMS was there. You know, physician shows up. It's, to my understanding of all the events, a couple minutes later, the outcome was just bad. The plan we planned, we executed the plan. The plan worked, but not how everybody wanted it to work. But again, right. Even if it works, how are you doing? Okay, maybe you saved that life, but how are you handling all the attention and accolades? You know, maybe, look, I did what I was supposed to do, but I can't handle the news wanting to talk to me and the school board wanting to award me this. And maybe that's the problem that we need to work through. You know, so your trigger may not be my trigger of why I'm having problems. And that's, you know, and that's fine, too. It's a matter of working through that trigger and working through that problem.
You mentioned you guys, the AT Cares program is in its infancy. What are some of the concerns that you see right now for the actual program?
You know, the concern I would have, and it's not happening, is going too fast, too quick. You know, hey, let's do this. Let's get a bunch of people trained, and we have no direction. Okay, Texas is a big state, obviously. Excuse me. We've had, between Texas and Arkansas, as of Monday, I've had 25 catastrophic incidences since August 1st. All right? Now, not all of those are deaths, but that's where an athletic trainer has been involved in it some way, somehow. You know, be that it was their athlete that died from a car wreck or whatever. And so I need help. You know, right now I haven't had to do any face-to-face since I've been trained. Maybe over time if I did 5 or 10 of those, it'd be like, you know, I've got battle fatigue. Somebody else needs to go do this. I'm going to need help. But I think not getting everything set up before we add more people and put teams together is problematic. You know, how are we – what's it going to be so if something happens somewhere that they can notify somebody that they need some help? Well, we want that system to be in place. It's never going to be foolproof, but as foolproof as possible. So if Bubba Wilson reaches out, that somebody's going to get back to him pretty quick, that it's not going to have to go to 5 people before it goes to somebody to give me help. You know, but we're working through all that. We're making sure that those things, we're trying to make sure those things are taken care of. So when this sucker, when that website's done and we're doing our stuff, it's pretty seamless.
All All right. Can you talk at all about maybe some of the tools that you guys have used? Because whenever I had a guy, Greg, he performed CPR, and so his was actually pretty traumatic. He was having like nightmares, and mm-hmm. he had to take medications and things right. like that. And so I've, over the last 2 years, just been able to reach out to him and say, just every once in a while, hey, man, how you doing?
Right.
And it just so happened I text him on the anniversary of the day. He's like, pretty good. Today may be rough, but, you know, but it's just the, it's when I remember and then I take action, you know, or like Cody, I work with him every once in a while, you know, at either events or whatever, because he's here in our area. And so I can ask him about that or discuss that. And, he, right. you know, randomly we'll text back and forth. But in our initial discussion, we said maybe like a 1 week, a 2 week, a 1 month, a 3 month out, that kind of thing, like right. some sort of progressively widening gap
right.
to check on that person. Do you guys have any system like that set up?
Not yet. As we go through the training, that's, we've talked about that a little bit, and I don't know that there's a true set pattern that needs to happen, because, you know, hey, we may have two conversations, and I feel pretty good about you. You know, we may have had a face-to-face and two phone calls, and I feel pretty good about Jeremy Jackson, you know, but maybe with Cody, I have two face-to-faces and five conversations, and I need to keep calling to make sure he's doing okay. So I think there's a little bit of flexibility there as to how much is too much and how much is not enough. You know, at some point, you're like, dude, I'm fine. Leave me alone. You know, call me about something else. And some people may be like, no, I need you to keep talking to me for a little while. And neither of those are bad. You know, that's all good. But it's a matter of following up. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. I texted somebody earlier this week that I dealt with about a month ago, and I just wanted to see how they're doing. I haven't heard back, so I'm going to call them this afternoon, you know, just to make sure. But, you know, because they had an issue where an athlete committed suicide, and then their friend who was an athlete attempted suicide the next day. That's got to be pretty tough, okay? So just those things. But, you know, again, there's no set pattern to when we need to do things. You know, I delayed that call because I found out the day I knew about it was the day of the funeral. I'm not calling that day to discuss it with them, you know. And then my job is to listen. I'm not passing judgment. I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking. My only advice I'm giving besides is to take care of yourself, you know. So, yeah, you know, I know somebody that lost a spouse, and they're in a group of other individuals that have lost spouses, all men that have lost their wives. And they made a great point to me, which has stuck with me over the last couple of years. He said, yeah, you lost your wife. Or you lost a wife, but you didn't lose my wife. You know, so everybody's different. You know, I could lose my wife and you could lose yours the next day, but they're total different griefs and issues that go with that. You lost your, you lose yours, you got young kids. I got a 20-year-old. That's a different animal altogether. So I get it. So I'm not going to say, oh, I've been there. They may say, have you ever dealt with this? Yes, I have. But it's not going to, I know how you feel. No, you don't. The one, you know, it wasn't my athlete or it wasn't your athlete, you know. So trying not to say those things to him is very, very important.
So saying, instead of saying, I know how you feel, because you don't really know how you feel, you could say, I've dealt with a similar situation.
I've dealt with a similar situation, right.
That's something I wouldn't think. Like, you would think, I know how you feel would be comforting.
No.
Saying, hey, I mean, I've been there. I've done CPR. I know how you feel. But instead, I've been in a similar situation.
Yes.
Because I don't really know.
No, it's not your athlete. You don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not in your head. So that's, right. That's right. Something I wouldn't have thought right. about. And hopefully,
how long have you known that athlete?
Exactly.
You know, you've been in school long enough, you knew him in elementary school, you know, mm-hmm. and now they're a junior, and you know the family, and there's another one coming up that's an eighth grader, you know. That's a different animal altogether than this kid moved in this year. You know, I know him, but I don't know him as well. You know, I haven't known that family. I've known this family 10 years, you know. So all that plays a part in that. And again, I don't know how you feel. You know, yeah, I've been through it, but everything's different. You know, what do we say? Every athlete's different. Every injury's different. Every death is different. The way it affects everybody is different. You know, the way it affects you versus Bill is different. That's human nature.
Right.
You know, yes. So that would be the thing. I can't say I know how you feel. I've been there. I feel your pain for the loss. I've been there. I've dealt with it. But, you know, I'm not going to say I know how you feel. At least not on purpose,
right.
You know?
Right. So, well, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I would have never thought about this.
Right.
Just thinking, you know, going, if you know you're going into that situation, say, hey, I've been in a similar situation.
Right.
You know, let me know if you need something.
The person I know that I can have somebody call that says, Bubba, I asked me to call you. I tell people all the time, I say, look, for me, it was a long time ago. I have people that have gone through it recently. If you want to talk to somebody that it's more fresh on their mind, I've got some people willing to talk to you, you know, just to give a different perspective, you know. I'm not in their shoes. I'm not in their head. And I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback, you know. I'm not going to say, dude, why didn't you do this? I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. All I know is the end result wasn't good. And the end result may have been they saved a life, but the end result in their head is not good. Can I do it again? You know, those things have got to be worked through, you know. So,
all right. And is this program available to Texas? Again, is unique in so many different ways, but in the fact that you can be a licensed athletic trainer, but there's also people who are not members, who are adamantly not members of NATA. So
open to any athletic trainer, regardless of membership status.
Okay.
Now, that being said, how our teams are set up has yet to be determined due to membership and those things. I'm pushing to allow a licensed athletic trainer in Texas that is not an NATA member to be a team member, to go get trained to be a team member. Maybe they can't be on the NATA committee. Maybe they can't be the state director. I don't know. That's what I'm working on right now, but I want them involved. We're a big enough state and enough people. I'm going to need those because I can't do Houston by myself, much less Texas and Arkansas, because at some point I'm going to have to travel, okay, to go talk to somebody. So I need multiple people in Houston. I need multiple people in the Metroplex. I need people in the Valley, San Antonio, Austin, Waco, you know, the Panhandle, East Texas. Now, that adds up. That's 20, 30 people in Texas, okay? Plus, that didn't include Arkansas, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, what are you going to do on far west and, you know, Hawaii? You got all the islands. How hard is it to hop an island? I've never been there. I don't know. I know it's not cheap from what I understand. So maybe you need somebody on each island, you know? Little things like that have got to be figured out. So that's going to happen over time. We're not going to do that by NATA in June. You know, we're going to start training people. The first one for, you know, everybody else is at NATA in June. You're going to get your individuals in crisis training. And then I'm looking at, like we talked about off air, I'm looking at trying to host one through us later on in the fall, early winter, and then going from there. You know, but again, I don't want to do this half-cocked and just jump on it and then go, oh, well, we didn't plan for this and we should have done this. I'd rather slow it a little bit and make sure when we do it right. So you just don't want to go into it and go, hey, I'd love to help you, but I'm not really set up and I don't have any help and, you know.
Yeah, or like, hey, reach out to me, but then I never get back to you because I'm so overwhelmed.
Right.
It's poorly implemented. That,
right.
That would be probably worse than ever reaching out in the first
right.
place.
Yeah, I got a phone call and they gave me a wrong number or, you know, whatever it is. I didn't have it, or they didn't tell me how to contact them.
Yeah.
So you can go to the website and, you know, all that'll be taken care of, you know, but there's certain things as far as confidentiality. If you submit that you need help, that making sure that's secure on the website, there's tons of things that you go, ooh, never thought about that. You know, policies and procedures, you know, that you go, oh yeah, I guess we do need those, you know? So there's a lot of moving parts.
And so, again, the reason that I am deciding to take this course at NETA Houston, it's costing me money. We get CEU money, but, like, this course is personally I'm paying for because of my situation. I feel that I was put in this place to deal with this athlete, my athlete, where we were performing CPR and he didn't survive, to where I spoke with the parents at the hospital that day, and she asked me what happened for this reason, like this AT Cares and Bubba being so involved and me and Bubba being friends, I think it's happening for a reason. There's a reason I'm being put in this situation. And on the podcast is to share my story and to share that you're not alone if you're in this situation. And also don't forget that that person that works across town or your college buddy that is dealing with this, they may not be affected, but they may be affected far more than we know.
Right.
And so just sharing my message is important so that other people can be encouraged to share theirs or to reach out and say, hey, just like Greg did say, hey, how are you dealing with this? Just like Cody did say, hey, man, do you ever randomly just stop and think of, like, dude, all the time? Like, I see this shirt right over here that they made, like, is the memorial shirt, whatever, for my athlete that died. And I see that and I think, you know, and it also helps me stop and when I'm playing with my kids or when I get mad at my kids and start to yell at, like, I treasure life just a little bit more because that kid that day may have said, you know, hey, mom, love you. Have a good day. I'm going to school. And that was it.
Right.
Or he may have not said anything, may have just walked out of the house and that was it. And it just makes me more intentional to treasure each of those moments because you never know.
You know, with that being said, two things off of that is I had an athlete die when I was in college, football player. We made commemorative patches with his number on it. I still have mine to this day. It goes in my pocket on a game when I'm covering. You know, that was almost 30 years ago, okay? But I still have it. It means something. The other thing is people go, okay, I'm not trained. What can I do? Reach out. Call them. Text them. If you know them, email them. Go by their house, okay? Hopefully they got a spouse running interference, all right? But do you need me to bring you food? You know, it gets tough to say, okay, Jeremy, I'm going to come cover your event. Your school district doesn't, they at the time knew me, but your school district doesn't know me. I can't walk in and take over.
Right.
You know, but I don't have a problem calling your AD and going, hey, they're dealing with some serious stuff. Can they come in late tomorrow? You know, that's one thing. Or hey, if you're the other, you know, the school in the district, another school within the district, we got your game. You know, we'll take care of this. Y'all don't go in today. We'll cover your game. Don't, you know, do you need me to pick up your dry cleaning? Do you need me to take your dog to the vet? You need me, you know, you want to sign something and work it out? I'll go pick your kid up from daycare. You know, whatever you need to do, be there for them. You know, buy them an adult beverage. You know, whatever works. Just say, hey, I'm here for you. No, I haven't dealt with it. No, I don't know how you feel, but I'm your friend. I'm your coworker. We're in the same profession. You know, I'm going to do my best to help you out. You know, that's in some ways more important than the peer-to-peer part if they know they've got people that are willing to help them. You know, I got your back, man. You need me to do something for you? You haven't eaten in 2 days? All right, you want to get out of the house? No? All right, I'm bringing over pizza. You know, we're going to have pizza and we're going to sit there and eat and we're going to watch TV. We may not even talk about anything, but I'm going to make sure you eat, you know?
Right.
So.
And yet for some of those people, just being there, not being sitting alone left to their thoughts is crucial.
Right.
So, yeah, the only thing you could do, I guess the only wrong thing would be to do nothing.
Right.
So just a text and email. And for me, again, I've shared the story multiple times. The best thing was people were texting or emailing just saying, hey, you know, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I had Sarah answer my phone for, you know, a day or two because I didn't really want to talk to anybody about it.
Right.
And so, again, but I really appreciate all those people that said, hey, I'm here for you. Hey, I've done CPR before. They may have said, I know what you feel. I know how you feel. Or they may have said, you know, I've been in a similar situation, whatever it is.
Right.
But just that support. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/ATCares. So check out the program if you can. If there's one near you, if there's somebody like Memorial Hermann that's going to bring it, try and bring it in, or you're the person that's dealt with this, then see if you can talk with a local hospital, local organization, or your school district and bring in the AT Cares people.
Contact me.
Yeah, and get trained there. And so contact Bubba. Bubba, what's the best way to get a hold of you if they want to do that?
Twitter? Yep.
ATCLAT Bubba.
Yep.
All right, so I'll have that link there in the episode. Again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/ATCares. Just tweet Bubba saying, hey, I need some more information, and then he can direct message you or email you or something from there. But don't sit and do nothing. At least reach out to a friend, a colleague, even if it's somebody you don't like, right?
Right.
So
go mow their yard. I mean, you know, it's pretty simple. Help them out some way. You know, just reaching out is good. But if you know them, you know, like, hey, Jeremy, what do you need? I don't even want to get up. I got to do this. I'll mow your grass, man. Don't worry about it. You know, I'll cover your game if I can. Or here's the pizza. You know, feed your family. You know, do something. And I know everybody I've talked to said, even though I didn't get to talk to everybody, the messages mattered. So,
yep.
You know.
Every one of them.
So, cool.
I am Mr. Jeremy Jackson on Twitter. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. If you just search on there, Bubba Wilson, there will be plenty of times he's been on there. So, you can get a hold of him that way. And that's a wrap.